listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me via Skype today, our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod domestic missionary, the Reverend Delwyn Campbell. He's serving in Gary, Indiana, USA. Pastor Campbell, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Glad to have you with us today. Looking forward to learning about your mission, where the Lord has given you to serve. Before we get to that, Pastor Campbell, tell me a little bit about what led up to you considering this vocation of the Office of Holy Ministry and now serving as a domestic missionary. What led you to consider this preparation to become a pastor or missionary?
Well, I've actually been preaching since I was a teenager. I got started as a missionary Baptist licensed minister, and then as a young man, I was introduced to the Pentecostal holiness tradition of the Church of God in Christ. During that whole time, through my growing up, my adulthood, even into being ordained as a Church of God in Christ elder, there was always this one question on the inside: how do I know? As the old folks would say, how do I know that I know that I know that I've got a safe spot in heaven? And Baptist Church had something of an answer if you embraced Calvinism. Church of God in Christ had an answer if you were ready to declare that you were living holy all that you knew how. But none of those answers really sealed it for me, because on any given Sunday, as you know, we're all prone to stumble and fall. The Bible says that the righteous stumble six times. So I knew that somewhere along the life, I was going to have one of my six times. And what if it was that moment when the truck came around the corner and hit me? Well, it was during a visit to Promise Lutheran Church in Murrieta, California, that I heard the answer to that question. That the answer did not lie within me at all in the first place. It was outside of me. That it was in the promises, or what Peter calls those exceeding great and precious promises that God the Father gave to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And I heard that answer, and it resonated. It was like, that's the answer that I've been searching all through Romans for all this time, and I thought I saw it there, but no one else seemed to see it but me. Well, now I found out it wasn't just me, that there was a whole bunch of people that saw that answer. And more importantly, that Dr. Luther saw that answer. It's just that unfortunately, while we are good at preaching the word and distributing the sacraments, well, maybe we're not quite as good in marketing. So a lot of people have read all about Calvin and heard all about, you know, Calvinism and Arminianism, but they don't really know much about pure gospel. But that's what got me started. That and the fact that my pastor, Chris Decknatel, one day came back from a conference and he said, Delwyn, the Lord has really been pressing on me to get you back into ministry. And so he led me to get involved in the Cross-Cultural Ministry Center program at Concordia University, Irvine. And when I completed that in 2015, I had been interviewed by the Synod and credentialed as an ordained pastor. I had my master's degree in theology to go with it, and I was equipped to work cross-culturally. Well, I don't know about you, but being a black man in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is all by itself cross-cultural. And so I had an interesting four-year experience of forgetting the things that lay behind, but not forgetting them, because I did go through those things, but learning how to take those things from my past and bring them into this new thing that wasn't new at all. It was just new to me. And when that work was done and those professors got through shaping and honing and sharpening and pruning, they had a Lutheran preacher. And that's what I am, a Lutheran gospel preacher. And so sometimes some folks say I sound like I'm running a revival. And then sometimes they say I sound like I'm doing the mass. I say, well, I'm a Lutheran, so I'm always going to be somewhere in the middle. But just hang on for the ride. You'll enjoy it.
How did your the faith of your childhood, those churches that you grew up in, those traditions that you grew up in, as you mentioned, I believe, Baptist and Church of God and Pentecostal, is that right?
Church of God in Christ.
Church of God in Christ. How does that shape who you are today, and how does that serve you as you serve as a missionary, a pastor?
Well, Gary, Indiana is a town that has a lot of Baptist churches. A lot of them were here when I was growing up here in Gary, Indiana. Then there's a lot of non-denominationals, which are essentially Church of God in Christ, but they don't want to pay money to the Church of God in Christ national leadership. And then, of course, Kojic churches. In those churches, one with the Baptist, I learned the importance of the scriptures to be your final answer. From the Pentecostals, I was taught the importance of personal holiness, of not just talking about the life, but living the life. But from those two groups, I also learned an unintended lesson. And that was the fact that either I was going to have to accept the fact that in my flesh there dwells no good thing, that I am, even after I walked up to the altar rail, even after I got baptized again and again, even after I reconfirmed my faith or everything else, I still found that in my flesh there dwells no good thing, and that the answer to that for them is either you become a hypocrite, lying to yourself, or you backslide, and eventually you walk away. And I didn't think either of those answers was the answer that God had.
Do you have family or those who are close to you who still remain in those traditions, who have many questions about what it means for you to be a Lutheran today, or even doubt doubt your faith today now that you're confessing Christ as a Lutheran?
Yeah. Well, not only do I have friends and family members, remember, I've been a preacher for a long time, so I got a lot of preacher friends. And so some of them has said, well, you know, I always thought that this is probably where you'd end up.
Why do they say that?
Because I was always really bookish, and I was always reading about church history. And during my time as a preacher in the Church of God in Christ, I was always saying, like, well, you know, the Church of God in Christ started in 1906, but there's all this church history before that. And how do we say that we're it, and we've only been around 100 years? And so they always knew that sooner or later I was going to find the way to reconcile the historicity of the church. The fact that the church doesn't just go back to 1906, but it actually goes back 2,000 years. And there have been Christians being born and living and preaching and witnessing and dying and raising families all that time before 1906. So some of them knew that was coming. There are others that, in fact, my wife went through it even more than I did. Some of my wife's friends thought that she was joining a cult when she married me because they knew nothing about the Lutheran Church. And so she had to explain to them about the Reformation and what it really was about and what it really meant to be standing against the excesses of Rome. All they knew was that they were allergic to anything that looked like Roman mass. They didn't know why. And now she could fill in all the details as to why they were the way they were. So it's been beautiful, man. I tell you, I love it because it answers the questions that even other Christians are asking in the midst of their devotion, in the midst of their worship and their praise and their seeking God, still those nagging questions of why can't I be victorious over sin? I tell them this because they're looking in the wrong place. You are victorious, but if you look inside yourself, no, you're not.
You're
look
looking in the wrong,
yeah. Look,
you're looking in the wrong place. Yeah. Has there been, now embracing this new and clear confession of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, has there been anything that's been a struggle for you in this new confession, in this in this church that is new to you?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Coming from the whole idea of the call, being God calling you into the ministry, and then being a preacher for a long time, the idea that the call comes from the congregation at first felt a little awkward, but it pretty quickly resonated. Let me tell you why. The church is Christ's body. There's nothing else on earth that can lay claim to that. And so it would stand to reason that if God is going to call servants to his body, he's going to call them. They're not going to call themselves and just show up one day and say, hey, I want to serve you. But waiting for that call after I graduated from seminary and had my certificate that says you are certified to be a Lutheran pastor and to preach the gospel and to distribute the sacraments and to exercise pastoral care, and yet all I was doing was vacancy work, and all my friends was getting calls. I was like, well, God, you know, I'm ready to work, and I got these student loans I need to pay back. Lord, help me. And then on top of that, I was in California, man. My house was paid for. My wife was happy. Kids was happy. But I wasn't getting no call. And then out of the blue, Gary, Indiana, where I grew up, but where I knew I would never go back to. I had nothing that I could do that would be useful in Gary, Indiana all those years. There was no reason for me to go back to Gary, Indiana. And besides, I don't like shoveling snow. And then God calls me to go back to Gary, Indiana, and serve at the church where I went to nursery school, St. John's Lutheran Church. And then on top of that, my wife, Lenita, born and raised in California, Long Beach, California, she says to me, honey, when are you going to sign those papers? So I felt like, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel in Gary, Indiana. So I signed those documents. We came out here December 15th, landed at Midway Airport, and the snow was falling. Went to our house the next day, still needed some work done on it, but everybody was happy to be here. I was happy to see my family, some of whom I hadn't seen in a few years. I was happy to see the old streets where I grew up in, and I was happy to see St. John's, beautiful sanctuary, and the history of it, and meet the people of St. John's who were passionate, not just in being saved, but being saved and confessional, and meet some of the other churches that were yet holding on in the midst of a city that, according to some, is in the valley and shadow of death. But yet they were holding on to their confessional faith. And I'm glad to be a part of it, to help them grow in grace and in the knowledge of him, and to help a city that over 50% of it is unchurched. So you know what that says to me, brother?
You've got a lot of work.
Yes, I do. But check this out. Over half of the city is unchurched. All of these Baptist churches and Pentecostal churches and other churches have been here for all this time, and yet half this city chose none of them. Now, they've got radio programs. They've got TBN and all this stuff preaching their message. Well, we don't have access to TBN. We don't have radio stations here in the area that are preaching pure gospel. So they don't really know about us. Well, that's about to change.
You're going
to
let them know about KFUO.
That's right. And they're going to hear the gospel preached purely, preached untainted, unmixed with works righteousness, preaching that, yes, we do good works because we belong to him. We do good works because that's how we love our neighbor, not we do good works hoping that we can tip the scales so that God will let us in. That's why the Senate sent me.
The key areas of your work set before you in Gary, Indiana? What are some of the things that you hope you'll be doing as a missionary?
Well, we have two major projects. One, strengthening the churches here. Two, planting a school. Among the problems that Gary, Indiana now faces in the post-U.S. Steel era, if you will, a lot of people have moved away. A lot of tax dollars have gone. So the public school district is struggling and is suffering. But there are a lot of kids here, a lot of parents who want their kids to have a good education. And they only have two choices, so they think. Either leave Gary, walk away from where their families lived, where they've got a history, and go somewhere else, or jump into one of those charter schools. Well, the charter schools are a mixed lot. Some are decent, some are okay, some are just a means of making money. Well, we offer something different. We offer a school that's going to give you a quality education, and not only a good education in the things that pertain to this life, but a quality education in the life that is to come. We'll not only educate your children to be productive and make money, but we'll teach them how to walk in their vocation, how to be the masks of God to their neighbor, how to love their neighbor as themselves and live in such a way that when they do receive their inheritance from their Heavenly Father, they'll receive it after living the life that pleases God and pleases their neighbor.
Tell me about the community of Gary. Earlier you mentioned some would describe it as the Valley of the Shadow of Death. How would you describe Gary, Indiana today?
Well, in terms of demographics, it's mostly black. In terms of politics, it's basically Democrat. In terms of hope, it's been attached to U.S. Steel for so long that some people are inclined to think that where U.S. Steel goes, so goes Gary. Even though U.S. Steel, when Elbert H. Gary first envisioned the place, U.S. Steel said then, this is not a company town. We are not building another Pullman city. We're building a mill to make steel. If we have a city, fine. If we don't, fine. So from the mill standpoint, Gary has never been its concern. From the citizens of Gary's standpoint, for a long time, we thought that the mill is why we're here. Well, it's time to change that. It's time to recognize that Gary, Indiana is not dependent upon U.S. Steel. Gary, Indiana can function without U.S. Steel. There are people who are creative, who are talented. There are other communities in the nearby area. You can live in Gary and work in Hammond, work in Chicago, and come home to Gary. You can be in Gary and be successful. And thanks to the school that we're planting, you can be in Gary and get a quality education. Thanks to the pure gospel that's being preached, you can be in Gary and hear sound doctrine and know without a shadow of a doubt that regardless of the light and momentary afflictions that we may go through in Gary, and yes, you're going to go through them in Gary, you're going to go through them in San Diego, you're going to go through them in Las Vegas. But guess what? The God that we worship is greater than your momentary afflictions. Yes, people talk about crime in Gary, but there's crime in Gary just like there's crime everywhere else. You just hear about it when it's in Gary. There's bad people in Gary. There's bad people everywhere. You just hear about it in Gary. But there's also good people. There's also hardworking people. There's also positive people. They're here too. And if you come by, you'll see them. And if you come worship with me, you'll meet them. And you'll hear the pure gospel preached.
How are you going to go about your mission? How are you going to go about the work that's been given to you in Gary, Indiana?
Well, we're going to go out to the people in Gary, both the people that are in our congregations, to encourage them to love their neighbor. Studies have been done that indicate pretty clearly the strongest way to grow your church is through your neighbor, is by you talking to the people that you normally talk to. The people that you work with, the people that see you on a day-to-day basis. and inviting them to where you worship. It's not by some stranger knocking on their door, trying to sell them on something. I'm not a salesman. I'm a servant. I'm not here to sell you something that's going to make your hair stay black and make the bill collectors go away. I'm here to preach the gospel in partnership with my brothers and sisters. Article 4 of the Small Call Articles, Luther says, the ways in which God gives his grace through the preaching of the word, through the distribution of the sacraments, and through the encouragement and conversation of brothers and sisters. I'm here to help my brothers and sisters develop their ability to have those encouraging conversations. I'm here to go into the marketplace, into the grocery store, and all those other places to meet my neighbors, to let them know that God does love them and that he does have exceeding great and precious promises. And then let them see that not only am I concerned about Gary, but the Synod is concerned about Gary. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is so concerned about Gary that it's putting resources on the ground. Not only in Gary, but in other places like Ferguson, like Brownsville, like Detroit, that we are here. Yes, I know that's a church that the stereotype says, well, that's a bunch of white folks. Well, guess what? That bunch of white folks is putting resources in this black city.
What is the groundwork that's been set before you where you can see already some potential good things, some potential good outcomes?
Well, the Lutheran School on 49th and Pierce is a facility. It's already in existence. The building is there. It is a school. All right? There's an organization called Lucent. It's a Lutheran RSO. And they are putting resources on the ground in terms of finances and marketing. We've got 4 churches that are already here in existence in neighborhood communities. And we've got families. Families that go back decades of being faithful to our confessional teaching. And they've got families and relatives. And so we're just going to start making use of those connections that we already have. As for me, I'm getting involved in the business community. I just joined the Chamber of Commerce so I can meet all these people and stuff. I've met the mayor here, and she promised. She said, I'm going to come to some of your services. So we're just making use of every door that's open to make our presence known, to make Christ known here in Gary, purely.
You mentioned earlier that Gary is your hometown. It's where you went to nursery school, there at St. John's.
That's right.
Returning to your hometown, you know, makes me think of God's word. It says, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. What do you have, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's funny. On the one hand, most of the people that I grew up with have all left Gary, like I did. So I look at them, but I also recognize something that I noticed. People from Gary, even when they leave Gary, they still love Gary. They still keep up with what's going on. They still hope for Gary. And I think those are potential resources that will support any positive things that are going on. And I can make use of those resources. I can connect to those people. But another thing about it is Gary folk, I don't know, maybe it's from all those years of breathing in all that steel mill stuff, but we strong folk. We don't break. We don't melt away. You can throw your worst at us, and we'll keep on coming. And so that's why Gary's not going to die. That's why there's not going to be the light getting shut off by the last person here. We may have to tear down some derelict buildings. We may have to reposition ourselves, and we'll do so. We'll do what we need to do. But we're going to be here. Gary's going to be here. We've been here for 200 years. We're going to be here till Jesus comes. And the church is going to be here too. The church that was here before Elbert H. Gary will be here, if need be, after U.S. Steel leaves. We're still going to be here. We're going to be thriving.
The Reverend Delwyn Campbell, missionary to Gary, Indiana, serving at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Gary, Indiana. Pastor Campbell, thank you for being my guest on Faith and Family. God's blessings on the new work set before you.
God bless you, Brother Andy.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.